Mark 16, 1-8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Well, who's good at crossing the road? Anyone any good at crossing the road? This isn't a joke about hedgehogs or chickens. Genuine question. What makes you good at crossing a road? When I was growing up, we were taught the green cross code. Guess some of you remember that. Stop, look, and listen. Because crossing a road can be dangerous, can't it? If we're distracted, if we don't stop and look and listen, we might miss something that's coming. There might be danger. We might step out and a car is coming or a lorry is coming. And so we were taught, stop when you get to the road. Look, see what's coming, listen. You know, there's a danger this morning that as we head into, for some of us, another Easter Sunday, we can do that the way that some of us go about crossing roads, distracted, not stopping and looking, not pausing. And Easter could very easily pass us by. The truths that are coming our way in this passage in Mark's Gospel could easily be lost to us. We might not see them or hear them. And so my encouragement to us this morning is we're going to stop just for a few minutes now. I forgot to say there is a creche available for those who need it this morning. I think those helping out there have just gone. But for the rest of us, we're going to stop. We're going to look and listen. And then there's going to be a third thing that we can do. Well, look, first of all. Look. The resurrection was seen. You know, the chapter division in our Bibles, I often comment on this. It's not original. The numbers that we've got here, we're in chapter 16. In our Bibles, if we've got a paper Bible, there's a gap, isn't there, between the end of chapter 15 and the beginning of chapter 16. There's a heading, which wasn't there originally. Now, those things are really helpful for us. They help us to find our way round our Bibles. If you're looking at the Bible on your phone, then there's even more of a gap because each chapter is on a separate page, isn't it? You can't see what's in chapter 15. You're just looking at chapter 16. But actually, this flows. When Mark wrote this down, probably writing what Peter, the disciple, told him to write, it would flow through. Chapter 15 flows into chapter 16. And it means that we miss, if we just start at 16, we miss the context, we miss the flow, and we miss the odd repetition. Listen to how it flows from verse 47 of chapter 15. And see if you notice something odd. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go and anoint Jesus' body. When you read it through like that, it's slightly odd. Why does he repeat the same names again? Why doesn't he just say the same women or these women then the next day or when the Sabbath was over, got up and went? And indeed, look back at verse 40 of chapter 15, just a few verses before. Jesus has been crucified. He's just died. Verse 40, some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph, and Salome. Three times in the space of eight verses, these women's names are mentioned. Why? Well, because Mark is trying to show us this was seen. These women witnessed Jesus die, saw Jesus buried, and found the empty tomb. These named women, these real people, it was witnessed. And it's not just the repetition of their names which makes this point. Mark also repeats the word look or saw, words connected to their eyes. They watched Jesus die, verse 40. They saw where he was buried, verse 47. And verse 4 of chapter 16, they looked up. And they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Mark has told us already that it was after sunrise, so they could see the sun had come up. It wasn't dark anymore. They were at the right tomb. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him." Do you notice how many times? It's striking, isn't it? They were looking. They looked. They saw. And even the angel says to them, "See." The resurrection was witnessed. Now, the other thing that's striking as we stop and look at these verses is these witnesses weren't expecting Jesus to be raised. Even though Jesus had told them this is what was going to happen, and we've read that, haven't we, in Mark's Gospel, three times, really explicitly. He said to them when they're on their way to Jerusalem, "This is what's going to happen to me. I'll be arrested. I'll be beaten. I'll be crucified. 3 days later, I will rise." But they weren't expecting him to rise. What were the women going to do that morning? You know, they weren't going with banners, kind of welcome back signs. No, they were going to anoint his body because there'd not been time to do that before the Sabbath came. They'd seen him die. They'd seen him put in his tomb. They thought he was still dead. You know, we would expect if this was Christians writing this account to try and persuade us that Jesus really is risen, well, then surely it would have been written differently. The disciples would have been there, expectant. This is what Jesus said, and it's happened, and here he is. He is alive. But the disciples are hiding. They're still fearful. They've seen Jesus crucified. The women are getting up really early to do this. Fearful. They weren't expecting the resurrection. And so what we have here is an authentic account. Eyewitness details. This really happened. Can we let that sink in? This really happened. That first Easter morning, as the women went up to the tomb, the stone was rolled away. Jesus' body was no longer there. He had risen. Look, the resurrection was seen. Secondly, listen, the resurrection brings hope. Those three words, "He is risen," said the angel. It's not named as an angel, he's a man dressed in white. The other Gospels speak of angels. We can presume he's an angelic messenger. He is risen. Remember those words from 1 Corinthians that I read at the start of our service? If he's not risen, Paul is really blunt. Your faith is futile. What are you trusting in if Jesus isn't risen? There's no forgiveness for sins. If Jesus isn't risen, we are in trouble before a holy God. There's no hope in death. If Jesus isn't risen, death is the end. Nothing beyond. No hope. Indeed, says Paul, really bluntly, if Jesus isn't risen, and you call yourself a Christian, and you're here in church on a Sunday morning, you should be pitied. You poor people. What a waste of your time. What a waste of your hopes. But, he says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. But, says the angel, he is risen. There is hope of sins being forgiven. There is hope of life through death. Death is not the end. There is hope of a relationship with God. He is risen. You know, we've spent 2 years as a nation, along with many other nations, trying to avoid death, haven't we? Extreme measures, it's affected our last two Easters. We've washed our hands more. We've worn face masks a lot. We've avoided people, stayed at home. We've had injections. All because we want to avoid death, not pass on something to someone else that could cause them to die. Now, it's right to seek to preserve life. That's a good and right thing to do. But we need not fear death. He is risen. He is. He was dead, but he's now alive. And Paul says he's the first fruits, he's the first one, if you like, to do that, but others can follow through him. We're going to look over the next 3 weeks at a bit more detail of what does this mean? What is it we believe about life after death? What can we look forward to, hope for? What does the Bible tell us? Well, here in these verses, we hear those three words, but that's not all the angel says. It's not just hope in the face of death. There's also grace that's offered. Listen to what else the angel says. Look with me at verse 7. Well, let me read from verse 6. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Do you notice the two words that are unnecessary in what the angel says? go tell his disciples and Peter. Peter was one of the disciples. Why does the angel say it that way? Go tell his disciples and Peter. Well, all the disciples had abandoned Jesus. There's encouragement here for all of them. But Peter, last time we saw him at the end of chapter 14, do you remember? He'd broken down and was weeping. He'd denied Jesus. After all his bravado, all his saying he would stick with Jesus, he would die with Jesus, he wouldn't deny Jesus, even though Jesus told him he would. And then he did. And then the cockerel crowed. And he knew he'd let Jesus down. And he was broken. And he was weeping. You can read that, end of chapter 14. So hear the words of grace. The angel speaks, go tell his disciples and Peter. There's hope. Hope of Peter's relationship with Jesus to be restored, even though he'd let him down. Have you let him down? The resurrection brings hope. Relationship with Jesus is possible. He died that we might be forgiven. He died that Peter might be forgiven. He died that you and I might be forgiven, that relationship with God through Jesus might be possible. There's hope, there's grace, isn't there? We don't deserve that. Peter didn't deserve that. But here in those two words, there's a spark of hope for Peter. Imagine his delight when the women told him later. They said what the angel had said. Hey, Peter, you were mentioned by name, by the angel. Make sure you go to Galilee. Jesus will be there. You will see him. Hope. Look, the resurrection was seen. Listen, the resurrection brings hope. Thirdly, speak. The resurrection needs sharing. Mark's gospel has a strange ending, doesn't it? In our Bibles, there's a note that comes at the end of verse 8 to say that there are these extra verses. It is thought that they're not original. They might have been. The weight of evidence suggests that they're not. That's why they're in sort of italics and slightly smaller print. It seems like Mark really did end his gospel at verse 8. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. It's abrupt, isn't it? End of the gospel. Maybe you were at the Mark drama last weekend and you saw that, felt that. Andrew Page gets up at the end and says, and that's where Mark's gospel ends. It's a surprise, isn't it? We want to know more. We want to see more, hear more. Other Gospels give us more. Mark ends here. But that's typical of Mark, I think. He is the fast-paced Gospel. His favourite word on the way through is the word immediately. The action keeps coming. And indeed, he starts quite abruptly. There's no nativity scene in Mark's Gospel like there is in Matthew and Luke. There's no sort of big bit of background in Mark's gospel like there is in John's gospel. No, Mark just starts as he means to go on. Turn with me to verse 1, chapter 1. How does he start? Jumping into the deep end. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. And he's off. This is the good news. And he starts to say and describe and show who Jesus is and what he did and why he came. And here it ends. The tomb is empty. The announcement is made. He is risen. But the women are frightened. They flee from the tomb. They say nothing to anyone because they're afraid. And it leaves us dissatisfied, doesn't it? If this was a novel that you were reading, you get to the end, and you get that with some novels. Is that it? Is that the ending? But I think Mark is deliberately trying to provoke us. Is this the ending that we want to end with? Are we going to do what the women did, or is there something we ought to do? Does it provoke us to react differently? Now, we understand their fear, don't we? They've seen Jesus crucified. He was opposed by the religious leaders and by the Romans. To associate with him was dangerous. And there's this claim. He's back from the dead. That doesn't happen. We don't see that. We understand their fear. But we also hold on to all that we've learned through the gospel. Jesus is God's Son, the promised King, the Messiah. He has died as the Passover lamb to bring forgiveness and redemption and rescue. God's Son, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, he is alive. He reigns, bringing hope and life and peace. You know, we ought to talk about that, oughtn't we? Now, if you're trusting in Jesus this morning, we ought to talk about that more with each other than we do. This is true. The risen Jesus. Death is defeated. He is alive. We should speak with one another, encourage one another in this truth. We should share this good news with others, shouldn't we? Jesus is alive. All that he claimed to be, all that he achieved, all that he did, he is alive. We can know him today. We can find peace through him today, hope through death today. He is alive. We should speak as a message to share of good news. But maybe you're still skeptical. Maybe you're still questioning. Maybe you're not sure. Well, then can I encourage you to speak in a different way, to ask questions, to speak to me or speak to someone that you know in this church family, to come to our course that starts this week, Hope Explored. Could there really be hope in our dark world? Could it be true? Questions are good. Hope Explored is an invitation to ask questions. We should speak in the face of these Easter truths. Do come along Wednesday evening in the Point, and there's a chance to do that. Is this Easter going to pass you by like another Easter? Or having stopped this morning, looked, the resurrection was seen. Listen to the words, the resurrection brings hope. Will we go on to speak? We'll serve refreshments afterwards in the hall. It's a chance to speak, to encourage each other in this, or to ask each other about this. Will this Easter, will these words in Mark's gospel make a difference to us today? They should make all the difference in the world.